Blog Talk Radio.
It gets so hard, just trying to figure it out, fighting down, trying to believe God, trying to watch the words of my mouth and stay on the ride. Trouble come and go, even on the mountain high or the valley low. Never let your faith go.
Oh, never let your faith go.
I've been there before, so confused, don't know which way to go. Stressed out, world so crazy, might as well stay in the house. Fear trying to rise up, got terrorists in the sky.
They look like us, but we know who we trust. Just when I say that we gon' be
in these last days, evil times will come and it's here today. Look at all the hate, senseless crime and murder. Human trafficking, racism, police brutality, bullying, rape, trouble and shame.
Shame to be the people.
Let your kingdom come, let your will be done
in the earth.
Let your glory rise, let your sun shine,
let it burn.
Here we are. All praise is due to Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I want you all to please forgive me again. I said all the formalities. I'm talking to you all. They're muting my microphone. I have no control over that. But we're going to do this show. You often know how the show starts. You often know how many obstacles and roadblocks we go through. But as I was saying, thinking that I'm talking to you all, and my microphone was showing me red, meaning that it was on, all of a sudden it switched to blue, and I could not unstick the muted microphone, okay? So please forgive me. Please bear with me. And I'm going to go back over the formalities and say, in the name of Almighty God, Allah, we thank him for coming in our midst and raising up and leaving a divine leader, teacher, and guide in our midst to give us divine and proper guidance in this day of madness, chaos, insecurity, and corruption. We thank Allah who came in the person of one Master Farad Muhammad. We thank him for giving us a great representation and example of his majesty, his power, his wisdom, his knowledge, and his understanding, and his undying love for you and I. And that representation we can see in the personage of the last and most surely, the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum. I'm sorry we have to go through this, but you all should be accustomed to this now. When they knocked me off the air, when they blocked me, everything, as I was saying, when they muted me, and I believe this is what happened. We're going to say this for a few minutes, and then we're going to get right into the show. But this goes hand in hand with the name of the show. Beware. The dogs of war are barking louder, and as the dogs of war bark louder and louder, they don't want any opposing views. They don't want any informative views that will help you to what's going on. So prior to the show starting, all week long, fresh lines, my phone lines, no crackle, no nothing in it. It was crisp. Anyone who called me knew it. 3 minutes before we go online, on the air, the static, the crackling, you can even hear people talking to each other on my phone line. So I had to switch from the main line to one of my cell phone lines just to talk to you all. This is what we go through. And on top of that, as I'm looking at this going on my dashboard on Blog Talk Radio, some of my clips were being deleted. I was seeing them being deleted. So, brothers and sisters, this is the price you have to pay for truth, okay? But the show today is called Beware. The dogs of war are barking louder. And I want to say this to you at the beginning of the show, just in case we may get knocked off or we may forget about mentioning it at the end of the show. We're going to have a part two of this Thursday, live, okay? So be here Thursday. And the only way the show does not go on is if they block me. But be prepared to do the show, okay, to listen to the show, to become a part of the show, all of that. But today, we are witnessing trouble throughout the world, right? If you look in the South and Central America, if you look at the Caribbean, if you look at Africa, you look at Asia, you look at the Asia Pacific, and then if you look within America's own borders, and in Europe, the political scene is deteriorating at such an alarming rate that it has stoked fears in those in power. The politics, the politicians, all of them, now see for a surety that we are now moving from the east to the west. As I was talking to one of my sources the other day, and he was telling me about what they see coming. He was saying that they see war coming and war imminent. So when we were looking at the stuff that was happening, and some of you was reading what was going on press TV and on Sputnik News and the other so-called alternative media sites. A lot of that stuff was given to me prior to that. But there's a twist to it. There's a twist to it. The reason that you see these things going on is because you have a global hegemon and her lackeys, which benefit from her hegemony. France benefits from America's hegemony. Belgium benefits from America's hegemony. The UK is a part of America's hegemony. Germany benefits from American hegemony. So when you see America in crisis today, and you see America striking out after Russia and China and all of these things, and you see her threatening the nations for war, she's doing this because everything of her world and her politics and her economics and her political clout depends upon her reigning over everybody and everything, and so too do those of Europe. That's why they have what they call a North Atlantic organization. It's a terrorist organization. They say treaty organization, but NATO is the North Atlantic terrorist organization. It is terrorizing the entire globe to submit to what Western and white supremacy at all costs, or we'll blow everything up. We're going to bomb and destabilize and overthrow every government, and we're going to do it in the name of fighting terrorism. We're going to do it in the name of promoting democracy and democratic values. We're going to do it in the name of human rights, even though we're violating every principle of human rights. All of this, all of these things that you see and hear are just embers, smoldering on the tinderbox that will soon burst forth in war. Beware, the dogs of war are barking louder and louder. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. There's so many things going on, like with the situation in Sudan, and this has a direct connection to the black man and the woman here in America. I'm going to say this again. The situation that you see in the Sudan has a direct bearing to you and your freedom. See, Allah likes to use examples. Allah likes to use history. And Allah likes to use people who have bucked up or who have rejected his power to show the world that you can't get away from this sphere of power that God has, that you can't get around it, you can't get underneath it, you can't go above it. None of that. You got to go straight to the horse's mouth. What's going on in Sudan? Let's explain this a little bit. So Bashir, the former president who was a general who came to power through a coup, he was in negotiations with America. He was in negotiation with NATO, but he was also having dual negotiations with China and Russia. He had accepted to establish a Russian military base in Sudan. He was also in negotiations with the Chinese for Chinese to invest in infrastructure and the rebuilding of Sudan's industrial power so that Sudan could become an economic and manufacturing power, right? And they could overcome the U.S. sanctions. But he was having secret meetings with the Zionist regimes. And see, when you do that, the same thing happened with Muammar Gaddafi. And you see what happened to the great Muammar Gaddafi of Africa. You can't have all of that and think that you're secure. You know, you can't have a foot in all of the groups thinking that you have a securitness. So what happened is America, Israel, and the rest of the Western world, they bribed some of the factions behind him to overthrow him, lock him up, embarrass him, hand him over to the so-called War Crimes Council, when not one American, not one British leader, not one German leader, not one French leader has been handed over for the murder, the rape, the bombing, and the pillaging of all of North Africa. Right? Okay? So I want you to keep that in mind. So a few months ago, there was a power coup because, you know, they overthrew him. This has a direct correlation with Q. See, some of you missed the point when this stuff, you see it in the news and you just overlook it, you bypass it. But we have to break these things down because you are the apple of God's eye. He said that he will give lives for you. He will destroy nations to place you back on top of civilization. So look. The ascending government of Sudan, who was installed through a military coup, I might add, through a military coup against Bashar. And they did that when he reneged on what he said about recognizing Israel. So America told some of the people who wanted money, who wanted position, who wanted power, listen, if you get rid of Bashar, we'll bring you out of the sanctions that have been on you for decades. We'll give you hundreds of millions and even of billions of dollars in aid. We will invest in you. Right? All you have to do is make nice with Israel, recognize Israel, and then let Israel open up an embassy to legitimize her illegitimacy. So when the new government came to power, bear with me, y'all, because this goes hand in hand with the dogs of war barking out. So when the new government comes to power through a military coup backed by Israel, America, the UK, and the NATO intelligence office, they started having formal relations with Sudan. If you think I'm lying, go Google this stuff. See, you have short memory. Go Google this stuff. They welcomed Sudan in out of the cold. Immediately started holding talks with them. So the people started rumbling because they didn't want a an illegitimate Zionist entity recognized. So the people started protesting, and the lower to middle class of the military was unhappy with the way things happened and the overthrow of Bashir. So there was a counter coup 2 to 3 months ago that you didn't know about. Some of you may have, but there was a counter coup, and it almost succeeded. But America, Israel, the UK, and NATO got involved, and they prevented the counter coup to restore Bashir back to power. So there was rumblings behind the scenes, and America gave an ultimatum to hand over Bashir to the so-called international court. You see, pay close attention to me. And I know Blog Talk Radio is dropping people because I'm looking at it. If you get dropped, come back. If they block you from doing it, try another method. If you're online, try to call them through your phone, vice versa. And if they won't let you come back on, then you go immediately to the Star and Crescent Report and start listening to it when we're off there, okay? Because this is very important. I know we're going to get to some news. We're going to get to all this stuff, but we have to connect dots. We have to lay the dots out, then we have to connect them, okay? Because these are the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in real action. As they said, actionable intelligence. So America gave ultimatums, and finally some of the generals started seeing the rumblings in the military and the people on the street. And so they gave an ultimatum to the government that was installed. And so now you have the Met loggerheads. So then the military deposed the government that they put into power. And America saying that, listen to me, I want you to see this, because the hypocrisy of America, the hypocrisy of the West has no limits, no bounds whatsoever. And they will tell you a lie with a smiling face patting you right on your back. Right? So they say, this is unacceptable. Now, it was acceptable for the overthrow of Bashar, because remember, even though he came to power through a coup, he kept his power through the elections through the years. Sudan. Right? And he was deposed through the same kind of coup. But the government in power has no real legitimacy because they have no democratic, as America says, election that brought them to power. I'm showing you the hypocrisy of America, that you can never trust them. You can never trust the West, especially when it's dealing with people who look like you. Right? So, with this happening, and some of the generals having cold feet, some of the middle class officers having cold feet because of the rumblings from the lower to mid-level people in the military. And they grub their foot on recognizing Israel and to accepting Israel embassy and for doing this, doing that, and to keeping the Russian military base out of there and to keep the Chinese from investing in building up Sudan. America got mad. And so she's now threatening Sudan with the reinstalled the so-called democratically elected government. This is unacceptable, or we will, all options are on the table. Well, you just go and look and see whether or not the government was elected. Do you see the hypocrisy? So God uses these examples to show you that she can never be trusted, especially with the likes of you and I. That's why these leaders in America who say and do everything, black leaders, they don't get the ire that the people who are telling you the truth get. They don't get all the roadblocks because they are behind closed doors friendly with their adversary, their enemy. The same thing is happening in Sudan, and it is going across the Middle East. I got a lot of premium articles that I got to do this week. I've been running behind, but I got something for you all, brothers and sisters, that's going to come out talking about what's going on between Turkey, Azerbaijan, and Iran, and what happened recently in the past week or so. All right? That connects directly to what's going on now. There's a power play now because America, she's losing. Listen, Afghanistan stood as a sign of a declining military power, not just of America. Listen to me good, because in Afghanistan. It was the whole of the white world defeated because you had NATO, the colonial nations who had colonized, right, overthrew, bombed, murdered, committed genocide and human rights abuse and crimes against humanity and war crimes against all of the nations and all of the leaders that stood in that way. But in Afghanistan, they were being killed through death or bleeding from a thousand cuts. They were hemorrhaging. And they were forced to fall back because, as Khalilzai said, the ambassador and the point man for America in Afghanistan, he said, things were getting worse every week. Now, mind you, I want you to listen to me, what I'm saying to you. While the military and while the political wing and the media was talking about how America had control of roughly 90% of Afghanistan, and while the media and the political and the military wing were telling you that things were going better and America was investing billions of dollars in infrastructure and America was doing this and America, the people were glad to be under the occupation of American NATO. Khalilzai, I think that's his name, Khalilzai, he revealed that they had to pull out. And even though they pulled out in chaos, they had to do it because the ramifications of not doing it was worse. And they had been losing on a weekly basis. How long was America in Afghanistan? Over 20 years, right? Where's our figure of the wife? Here we are. Let me show you something. What Elijah Muhammad tried to tell you, but you laughed at him when he was telling you this stuff. Here we are. This is what the messenger said concerning how America is going to lie to you, and she's going to kick him, and the Western world is going to lie to you and lie to you and lie to you because that's in their nature. He says, this is hiding the truth. What is she trying to get peace for? Remember, she is talking about, oh, we need peace in Afghanistan. We need peace in Syria. We need peace in Iraq. We've got to get peace in our hemisphere in the South American platform. We got to get peace in Asia. We've got to remember all this. Because that is a daily theme for her to say, even though she is the greatest obstacle for peace being had in all of these regions and all of these nations, Allah is doing this to expose her for the world to see her as that great whore that they fornicated with and got gonorrhea from politically and economically and industrially. And now it is coming back on them and it is burning like hell. And they need some form of economic and military and political penicillin to stop the burning, to stop the itching, to stop them from scratching themselves. She is that great harlot that the Bible talks about, that Isaiah talks about. That this is that whore who had fornicated with all the nations. All the nations had partook of her trade. But it's burning now. They have come to the realization that they have contracted a economic and spiritual and social, political, and military venereal disease. And it says this. This is hiding the truth. Where is she? What is she trying to get peace for? If these people's losses are as great as the radio and other news media state, the enemy would be on his knees begging for peace. It seems as if now it is vice versa. This is hiding the truth. Stop right there. Remember, every day for 20-plus years, America reported day in and day out that they had rebuffed the advances of the Taliban. They had rebuffed the advances of the Syrian military army. They had rebuffed the advances of the Hezbollah movement. They rebuffed the advances of Iraqi Hezbollah. Remember that? Every day. And you can still hear the echoes of it in the news today. But Khalilzai said that they had to leave because they were losing every week. And it was getting worse week by week. But you didn't hear that in the media, right? They gave you these rosy promises and this rosy stuff that everything was okay. But Muhammad said, this is hiding the truth. Allah has said to me that America will not admit the truth of our losses until we see it on our heels. Do you not see that the nations are now rising up against America? Do you not see that our economic plight is metastasizing like a cancer day by day by day by day by day? Do you not see this? So all that you see going on is to bankrupt the nation of America. It's to stretch out her military and continue her military endeavors across the globe so that she can weaken the military sphere, the military apparatus, so that she can bankrupt the nation here at home. And when this happens, the dissatisfaction builds up within her own civil border. And you see a great social and economic and class and cultural and color divide within her own borders. And then Muhammad says, now she has a war at home. What are we looking at today, huh? With the Karens and all of these people going mad. Is that not happening today? So, the fall of America. You're looking at the fall of the white world in real time. I don't know how many times I have to say this to you all. America's in trouble. She's in trouble like no nation has ever been before because she is number one on God's list. It's one thing to be on God's hit list. I don't think you sit down and just think over this thing. Think about to be on God's hit list. That's one thing, boy, that'll just scare me to death. But then to be number one on his hit list, that's something right. He's going to get you number one. And the Bible teaches us that he would use all of his arrows to bring down Israel so that all of the other world, the white world and everybody that's looking on, would never buck up against them again. Look what's happening to America, huh? Look what's going on within our borders. And then she views you as an enemy now. See, she's instituting more draconian law by the day because she fears the awakening of her ex-slave. She fears it. And all while her policy overseas is alienating her from the nation. And with that said, think about this. How do you go to war, again, with a nation that produces 95 to 98% of everything on your shelf? How do you sanction a nation that holds over $1.5 trillion in your debt and yet produces everything that you need? Not only do they produce everything on your shelves and your stores, but they produce your combat boots, your fatigue for your military, computer boards for your computers for your military, the chips that go into your missiles and that go into your radar. How in the hell can that be a rational policy? It is not rational. So the book says that God would have him in derision. Do we not see that happening today? Let's look at something real quick, okay? Because I like for you to think. Give me a second, okay? I like for you to think. And I like to prove what I'm saying. All right? All right, here we go right here. Let's go to the dictionary real quick. All right. Derision, according to Google's dictionary. Derision is a noun. It means contemptuous, ridicule, or mockery. Similar, mockery, ridicule, jeering, jeers, sneers, scoffing, gibbling, taunt. So now, God has her in derision. What are the nations doing? They're taunting her, right? What are the nations doing? They're making mockery of the great lion of the battlefield. You hear the sneers from even small nations and the scoffing of nations that say, you know what? You can sanction us. We don't care. We'll build our own industry up, right? And then you hear the jibing coming from Russia. When Russia warned America and NATO's aggressiveness, you must then take note of the last time you built up on our borders, what happened to you. Meaning, Putin was referring to, and the general Shogor, or Shugu, or whatever his name is, was re- reminding them of what happened when Europe built up might of arms in Russia's direction and how Russia ran roughshod over them. See, all of this stuff is interconnected. Listen, if Allah does not break the military, if Allah does not break the economic, if Allah does not allow for social discord and division in America, you don't separate, you don't recognize your position in life, and you don't go free. These things are a must for you to go free. You understand? These things are a must. They must take place in order for the black man and woman who are held captive here with a boot on their neck to go free. So I say to you all, beware. The dogs of war are barking louder and louder. We're going to go to a clip. I want you to see. I with this clip here, that was actually, I think it was like 16 minutes, right? And so I cut it up into three little smaller clips. It was what it was. The interview was actually longer than that. But I took about, let's see, about anywhere from 12 to 16 minutes, and I cut it up into three clips to make it more palatable and digestible for you spiritually and mentally, because I know our patience are short as a people. We got patience with the devil, but we don't have patience for truth, and we don't have patience with each other. We quick. When it comes to us. But then that white man starts lecturing, you want to hear every word he said, get in front of the TV, knowing Trump a liar, knowing Biden a liar, and you'll sit there and watch the whole interview, the whole town hall meeting, because that's your master. And you even though you don't think you do, you still perceive them as your master. But when it comes, when you're listening to your brother or one of your sisters, your patience has been shortened because you look at them and you still view them in the same light as your slave master put in you. I want to share with you these things because they're very important to go along with what I'm going, because we're going to get into, if time allows, we're going to get into the economics of it. But I want to show you something about what happened a few weeks ago. All right. I was going to play it on the last live show, and then I was going to play it on the next live show. But, you know, I got blocked from doing live shows. So I'm back on the air again. And I want you to see the situation. This is the ambassador, or I think a leading person in China who was given an interview. And he was given an interview to an alternative media site. I forget the name of it. God forgive me. But anyway, and I got the picture of the website right in my head. Got it right in my head. The colors, the designs, everything. I just cannot. Going underground. That's what it is, going underground. All right? I want you to pay close attention to this, because the first clip is 1 minute and 49 seconds. The second clip is about, let's see, where's the second clip at? Because the second clip is about 6 minutes. So we're going to go into the first clip. And I want you to pay close attention to the questions and the answers, because this is China talking about America and Australia and the West and the UK and their provocations. Remember that Europe or America or the Western world, their power is broken in Europe, in Asia. They are defeated in the Middle East and North Africa. Their power is broken globally in Asia. So this is very important for you, according to the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And if we don't get to, I have a clip at the end of one of these clips, not the AUKUS clip, but the end of one of these other clips I have for you. I'm hoping that was not one of the clips that they erased when the show started. It has something directly correlating to what the messenger said, okay? But we're going to get to these clips one by one by one, but I have to put them in the context, you know, so that you can understand what's going on. So let us go into the first clip from AUKUS, about AUKUS. So be prepared to listen. And brothers and sisters, if you get disconnected, call back in. If you get disconnected off the line, go back to your URL and refresh the page. Be patient with it, and then try to get back in. And if you, for some reason, that you've missed a section or a part of this show, I beg of you, after the show airs, wait about 10 minutes and then go and refresh the screen and go listen to the entirety of the show. I thank you and I love you, but listen closely to this, okay?
U.S. armed violence in Palestine. But first, it's the day after mainland China's National Day celebrations, which marked 72 years since the establishment of the People's Republic of China after the Chinese Communist Party won the civil war against the U.S.-backed Nationalist Party. This amid controversy over revelations of phone calls by U.S. General Milley to reassure China of no imminent U.S. nuclear strike and a surprise Australian nuclear submarine deal with London and Washington. Joining me now from Beijing is the Center for China and Globalization's Vice President Victor Gao. Victor, thanks so much for coming back on. As I said, it's the day after. You have Britain's Queen Elizabeth aircraft carrier coming towards your maritime borders, NATO countries openly threatening your existence, USS Ronald Reagan strike carrier force sailing towards you. Bad times for China?
Well, China just celebrated the 72nd National Day. The whole country was in a mood of great celebration. Everyone was very happy, very united behind the government. Yes, of course, there have been lots of incursions of foreign forces, their aircraft carrier, naval ships of all kinds, and possibly submarines into China, South China Sea, and other waters around China. This is a very serious matter, and China condemns such incursions. And they are not purely freedom of navigation exercises. They are using freedom of navigation as an excuse to challenge China's sovereignty and territorial integrity. And in such a way, China not only condemns it, but will prepare the consequences for such violations of China's national interest.
I mean,
so, did you hear what he said? And they cut it off. They cut it off. It was supposed to be a little bit more, but they cut it off. I can't have nothing to do with that. That's Blog Talk Radio. But again, he was telling you about after China celebrated its 75th year, you know, China's a power now. China's not cowering. They're not scared of anything. And he was telling you about how America, Great Britain, and the rest of them are using this so-called freedom of navigation to provoke China, right? So that's, we're going to go straight into part two. Part one went off, we're going to go straight into part two, and then I want you to pay close attention. Please, brothers and sisters, please pay close attention to what they're saying and the questions that are being asked, okay? This will go a long way in helping you to understand the situation that now that America now faces. So here is part two on this. This is about 6 minutes. I want you to pay close attention to this.
Then the government and the power suppliers need to figure out a better way to make sure that while China is absolutely doing the right thing to cut down the CO2 emission by closing down some of the coal-based power plants, how China can manage to provide enough power from other sources to the end users. That's a challenge that China needs to balance off going forward.
The UN says it's not going to happen in time. And if even in 2021 you're having problems, the fossil fuel emissions are not going to go down. Obviously, China is the biggest, obviously not per capita, but the biggest emitter in absolute terms.
Well, if you look at China's track record over the past 10 years or so, the per unit CO2 emission for the Chinese manufacturing side and industrial side has been cut down very significantly. Now for China, which is still enjoying very rapid economic development, this goal has its own pains. But I think different sectors and the whole population in China are ready to go through this very painful period to achieve the government declared the target on the one hand, and also to make sure that the economy in general need to proceed in a normal way rather than suffering significant disruption. Please keep in mind that China has enough power generation capacities. The real problem is what materials do you use? If you continue to use a lot of coal as the primary source of power, then the government is very much determined against it. If you use other sources of power, for example, natural gas or crude oil, or increasingly renewable sources, solar and wind, etc., then the Chinese government is very much encouraging that.
Well, hopefully more of the solar and wind and renewables rather than the oil and gas. No one's measuring the fossil fuel emissions of all these warships from NATO, from the US and UK headed your way. What did you make of these revelations in Washington of General Milley, the Joint Chiefs, US Joint Chiefs Chairman, saying that he had to reassure a Chinese counterpart that there was not going to be a first nuclear strike on China?
First of all, I think General Milley is highly regarded and respected from the Chinese side. Now, what is happening in Washington, the congressional hearing and General Milley's testimony at the congressional hearing is a reconfirmation of one point. That is a very important point. That is, there will be no war between China and the United States, and that is in the best interest of mankind. There are people who are very eager and agitated to provoke a war between China and the United States, but they are not doing that in the interest of the American people. Some people in the United States even claim that China and the United States are destined to have a war with each other. They a little understand the consequence of a war between China and the United States, because if you listen very carefully to what Dr. Henry Kissinger has to say recently, he's basically saying, any war breaking out between China and the United States may soon escalate into an Armageddon.
In fairness, anything Henry Kissinger says for the Global South is usually a reverse barometer. Arguably, I think you know what happened in Vietnam, Cambodia, and Laos. You have said, I noticed previously, that Australia will lose its privilege of not being targeted by Chinese nuclear weapons thanks to this surprise AUKUS deal between Washington, London, and Canberra. Is that going to happen? Should there be nuclear missile upgrades to the nuclear submarines now being talked about coming from Britain and the United States?
Well, first of all, this AUKUS is very much against the megatrend in the world, because world today needs peace and stability. By possessing nuclear weapons, nuclear submarines, and they are kind of fine-tuning it, they claim that it is nuclear-powered submarine, it is not nuclear-weaponized submarine, but I would argue the difference or the hair splitting is really very much artificial, because a submarine is a weapon, and if it is powered by nuclear power, that nuclear-powered submarine can strike or can be attacked in time of war. And attacking a nuclear-powered submarine will turn that submarine in itself into a big explosion, and that definitely will constitute a big nuclear weapon to start with. Therefore, I would say, by possessing nuclear submarine, either nuclear-powered submarine or nuclear weaponized a submarine, Australia will no longer qualify as a member of the nuclear-free South Pacific zone. So I would say the Australian government is not informing the Australian people, 23 million of them, sufficiently about what will be the consequence of AUKUS, because I believe the Australian people do not want to lose that privilege and coveted status of being a nuclear-free country, living in that big, beautiful bubble of South Pacific nuclear-free zone, because by losing that status, Australia will be targeted with nuclear weapons.
Well, as I said, Scott.
So, here we are. He did such a masterful job of talking. Some of the stuff may have gone over your head. First, in this part, he started talking about the energy crunch that China is going through, and I'm going to explain that, too, as a part of warfare, hybrid warfare from the West. And then we'll go into the part about him talking about Australia. Remember, we told you that when this war breaks out, those lands over there in New Zealand, after the war, New Zealand, Australia, those are going to be turned back over to the Aboriginal people. Those going back to the original hands of black people. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches that, and we believe it, and we know this to be true, because everything that he said, everything that he taught, everything that he spoke of has happened, is happening, and is being positioned to happen. So it would be insane for us not to believe that, okay? So, and brothers and sisters, if you hear noise going on around, you know, we homeschooling at the same time. there's a lot of things going on construction-wise and stuff like this. So please bear with me. All the noise in the background, all the talk and the chatter and stuff in the background, the laughing, just forget that for a minute, and let's focus on this. I have to explain this stuff because time is of essence. Now, when he talks about this energy crunch, there was a conference, an international conference, for so-called big looters or whatever to sign this deal so that they can eliminate so-called CO2 and all of this stuff like this. But some of that stuff is Western used to try to cripple economically the rising nations and stuff like that. But China has stuck to its deal and is suffering an energy crunch, which it can alleviate just as quick by turning on some of its turbines and doing all this. But they are showing the people that they don't need to do as America and France and all the rest of them and speak with one voice and then go do something else. See, they're showing the world that we're gonna weather this. We're going to weather this. We're going to show you how we're going to do it. We're going to show you that we're not going to bail out these companies that took in more debt and more debt. So they're letting big, huge companies collapse. America is giving them more money, more power. See, so what China is doing in a way, she's showing a contrast to the ethics of the East and the ethics and the morality of the West. At the same time, he transitions to about the economic warfare that is going on. He transitions to the military component too, moving so slyly, and I can say diplomatically explain that if Australia wants to play this game, they are welcome to receive these nuclear submarines from America, because America, Australia, and Great Britain's nuclear submarines, when hit by a missile, will become nuclear weapons. So he's telling them, oh, you play these games you want to, but we will target your, and China has a vast network of underwater surveillance systems. That's what America hit. When the submarine hit, it hit one of the surveillance things underwater. That's what damaged America's Seawolf, her most prized nuclear submarine, a few weeks ago. You understand? You didn't know that? Some of you didn't know that? But that's what happened. Okay? And so China is telling them, we don't care nothing about that. But if you want to play this game, recognize that you will be targeted with nuclear weapons, and a nuclear weapon hitting a nuclear submarine will be catastrophic for you and the West. This is what she's saying. But he did it so diplomatically, and he did it with a smile on his face, okay? But let's go a little further. Let's get this other one, this part three, which is only 2 minutes. Pay close attention to what is being said, and we're going to transition to something, okay? Pay close attention to this, and remember what Elijah Muhammad told you. He told you this. He said, he told his people, talking about Yaqub, the white people, when you live on this earth for 6,000 years, don't try to rule for the seventh, because in the 7,000 years, your brother from the east, coming from the east, is going to eat you up. Talking about the yellow man of Asia. He says, the white man or devil knows this. What are the military reports now? It says, China stands as the largest threat and challenge to American power and what they say, the so-called rules-based order. This is what they're saying all day long. I'm not making this up. Doing this stuff. These are the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in real time. In real time. So it goes further and says, the white man or the devil knows this, which is why he goes over there and stops his artillery over there, trying to keep the man from coming out. He starts working on him before he leaves. But they, who is the they? The yellow man. But they know he is going to do that. Guess what? They prepared for it. So this so-called pivot to Asia, this didn't just happen out of the blue. Elijah Muhammad was telling you that in the 70s, the 60s, and the 50s, what was going to happen. And now we see it in real life color. So you can't say that he lied, because we can point to it. We can test it. We can smell it. We can taste it. We can hear it. We can feel it. Tangible assets that prove that Elijah Muhammad is telling you the truth. Okay? Now, with that said, keep what I just read to you in mind. with this next clip.
From China, and Kamala Harris, Joe Biden's vice president, said Beijing continues to coerce, to intimidate, and to make claims to the vast majority of the South China Sea. You think the Communist Party will remain calm as the rhetoric is heated up more and more in coming weeks?
Listen, the Americans should know better than many other countries, because in 1945, when Japan unconditionally surrendered, Japan surrendered all the islands, isles, reefs in the South Pacific Sea to the Republic of China, because at that time, China, in the form of the Republic of China, the United States and the former Soviet Union and Great Britain, and to a lesser extent France, we were the victor nations after defeating Nazi Germany in Europe and imperialistic Japan in the East. And Japan surrendered everything to China in 1945. China in 1945 was the only independent country standing on its feet after winning the war against Japan. So the United States knew this better than many other countries. As a matter of fact, the United States dispatched its own naval forces to help the Republic of China naval forces to reclaim all these islands and reefs in the South China Sea from the surrendering Japanese soldiers. Therefore, we do not need to look beyond 1945. We just need to stop at 1945 and check all the historical records, and China has indisputable claim to those islands and reefs, etc. And when you accuse China of violating other countries' claims, where did they trace their claim back to 1945? We need to call a spade a spade.
Victor Gao, thank
you. See, this is what the white man does. He knows history, but then look what he does around the world. All these areas that you see warring, this was designed decades and even sometimes centuries ahead of time. The fallout with India and China is over that border region. The British did that. The fallout between Pakistan and India is over a border region. The British did that when they retreated. Look at what's going on in the South China Sea. America did that as China ascended. Remember what I told y'all, that after the war, they had no plans on sitting Mao in the seat of power or at the UN. They wanted Chiang Kai-shek, the Republic of China, which is Taiwan, which is America refers to as Taiwan now. Okay? They thought it was going to be the whole of China, and they were going to turn over all of that stuff to them. But when Mao emerged, Chiang Kai-shek, Huyen Lao, and all of them emerged as victorious over Chiang Kai-shek, who was a Christian. Brothers, I tell you what, it's something else. You got to look into this stuff. Who was a Christian power by the West, and who acquiesced on national sovereignty and their own global aspirations to the West. When they formed the League of Nations, when they formed the United Nations, they were going to sit him there in the seat because they had power over him. But to their dismay, Mao, in the long march, overthrew Chiang Kai-shek and his military and exiled him to Chinese Taipei, which is called Taiwan. Okay, this is a history lesson for you all. It goes to this. So this is very strategic. This is very important that you understand these things, because this is what's going to get America busted in Asia. China will not give up on its sovereignty. I'm telling you this now. They don't care how much power you have. They don't care what you threaten them with. None of that. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that that yellow man of Asia was made for the purpose to chase down this white man of America in the West, because he likes to fight just as much as this white man. Right? He's not going to give up on that. Do you think, I want to put something on your mind, okay? I just want you to put this on your mind. America has thousands of nuclear bombs, right? Now, I'm going to direct yourself to something to the past, and I'm going to put something in perspective for you. At a time when the Soviet Union was known as the second most powerful nation on earth with the second largest stockpiles of nuclear weapons at the time. Even though she was allied with the Soviet Union, China had a land beef with the Soviet Union. And things got out of control, and China went and spanked the Soviet Union. They didn't have nuclear weapons at the time. They didn't care nothing about that. And so we go back to today. Guess what happened? Now, mind you, that happened back then. Now, guess what happened a few years ago? Russia came to the negotiation table, and they ceded the territory that China had demanded for decades. Russia, the largest nuclear power on earth, ceded this. Do you think China going to wear up and just walk away from the second largest nuclear power on earth? See, these things you don't think about. Because see, it's in them. Allah put that in them, in their making. Because he can see further down the wheel of time than you and I can see. So long before the devil was conceived to go into action, God had already worked out his destruction. And we're looking at that right now. And he uses nations. He uses, as me and Rashid was talking earlier this morning and late last night, he uses the nations and the adversaries of America to bring her to her knees. Okay? You're looking at that. I want you to listen closely. No, I'm not going to even play that because that clip is going talking about China. I still have a lot of clips up there. I had so many clips for you today, but they erased a lot of them. But it's okay because I want you to understand that we're in a different time, okay? I'm going to play this clip right here, and this says it all about America. Where's the Honorable Elijah Muhammad? Let's go to the fall of America. Where's the fall of America? Oh, here. All right, here we are. Let's go to page 115, I believe. Okay. Yeah, 115. It's chapter 27. And brothers and sisters, I do all of this on the fly. All of this on the fly. No pre-planning or none of this. We do it all on the fly. Wherever Allah sends me, that's where I'm going in these books, okay? And it's always pertinent information to be given to you, all right? I believe and I stand firm and I know and I will share with you that there is no God but Master Farad Muhammad. He is Allah in person. I want to share that with you. I want you to take that to heart. I want to share with you that the last and the greatest messenger of God is none other than the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And on that truth there, I'm prepared to die. On that truth there, you can believe that. So, in chapter 27 of the fall of America, the troubled America, and then it says, no peace. Now, remember what we were just talking about with China, and we were talking about the Sudan, and we were talking about the Soviet Union, and we're talking about Australia and New Zealand, and we're talking about the AUKUS situation with Australia, America, and the UK. I'm going to read something to you all, okay? But before I read that to you all, while this clip was playing and the Chinese person was talking, I was just Googling. I just put in some keywords. You can do this yourself. I just put in some in an extra search engine. I just put in NATO Secretary General talks about NATO expansion into Asia. Okay, I just put that in it, and I want you to see how the white man twists up words, and this is what is bringing the world closer and closer to war. As she twists up words with Russia, now Russia, the largest nation on earth, landwise, right? It is roughly 2.5 times the size of the United States of America, roughly. Okay, huge, huge country. And remember, it was even bigger than that when it was a part of the USSR, all right, or the Soviet Union. Now, Russia did not, Vladimir Putin, Shogu, did not pick up the landmass of Russia and then drop it down in the middle of Europe, okay? So I want you to keep that in mind because America and Europe and NATO keeps telling you that Russia getting closer to NATO's airspace, sea space, and land. Mind you, it has been America and NATO expanding up to Russia's border. So this is that double speak that they use. This is what the empires use the doublespeak. So this has everything to do with China now. Jen Stolberg, who is a absolute corrupt hawk, do your due diligence and search this dude. This dude is a criminal beyond criminal, right? But he's the Secretary General of NATO. And why would they put a criminal beyond criminals above all criminals as the Secretary General? Because the NATO organization is a criminal organization, right? So this, I'm just going to read the headline. The headline from James is that he says, China is coming closer to us. Stoltenberg on the rise of China's military ambition, EU defense, Russia, and the transatlantic alliance. Now, why? Look at that doublespeak. China does not have one base in Europe. China is not traversing the territorial waters of no nation in Europe. So how is China coming close to NATO or Europe? I'm asking you these things because these things are something you have to think over. The white man is a liar. And how he has progressed, how he has maintained his society is by making false appear right and right appear false. That's what they call doublespeak. Was it China that sent warships through the English Channel? No. But it is NATO under the guise, whenever they don't want you to know that it's NATO, they just individually name the nations. But guess what? Australia, the UK, France, which has warships over there too. Germany, which it sailed a warship over there too. And America, they have traversed the Taiwan Strait and the South China Sea. These five nations are key components of the terrorist organization, NATO. But in John's or Jim's poll or IG, he says that it is China doing that to them. Do you see? See the lie? They lie. And the truth ain't in them. Even though they can lie. They can lie. They will rape you, and because you fighting off the rape, they'll say that you are a savage. How dare they attack me? All I was doing was sitting there. They were ripping their own clothes off, jumping on me, and I was trying to get them off of me. That's how this white man does. You see it in his courts of the so-called law. You see it in his opinion poll. You see it on his TV. You see it in his politics. And now you see it in his geopolitics. He's a liar to the very core. Okay? So, with that in mind, I want you to listen to this right here.
Well, we've already seen the repercussions of sectarian conflict and communal violence. We've seen it in our recent history, starting from the war in Iraq in the modern times. Very clearly, it's in the geostrategic interest of the US and its allies to keep the region unstable, because they've effectively vacated the region, and so by proxy it would be in their interest to keep it destabilized, because a strong Afghanistan or a stable Afghanistan, because of its geographic location, its natural resources, would be a boon to the advance of Russia and especially China under its Belt and Road Initiative. And this is the problem we have. The US and its allies may have left the region, but they haven't left the party in terms of the conflict, and they're not going to give up any kind of idea that Russia and China will move in to become major players in the region geopolitically. So it does suit geostrategic interests of Washington and its allies to keep the region destabilized and in disarray and divided. I just hope that wise heads
I stopped it right there because that's the main part I wanted to hear. Now, this is a strategist, and I think he's from Belfast or something like that. He lives in the UK, I believe. And so he talks about how it is in America and European nations' interest to keep these nations unstable, to keep the geopolitical pot stirring, to keep crisis going, so that they can justify their existence, so they can justify their motions, their movements, so they can justify their aggression. And they do it overtly and covertly, right? Let's go back to page 115. Okay? Chapter 27, The Troubled America, No Peace. I didn't forget this. This is all a part of why I played the clip. America and trying to hold her place as the greatest power among the nations of earth is one of the most troubled countries on earth today. The world has never before seen the top rulers of the land leaving their offices to visit nations abroad. The purpose of these visits to foreign countries is to make peace with them after years of troubling them. Stop right there. That's why Newland went to Russia. That's why Newland went to Russia. For those of you know who I'm talking, Victoria Nuland, the mastermind behind the Ukrainian coup that overthrew the legitimate government of Ukraine so that America could sweep into Ukraine. Because remember, the big new Brzezinski, who was the teacher to Barack Obama, and he had said that whoever rules your Asia rules the world. And we need to separate Ukraine from Russia to break Russia's power. Okay? Go read the book. I'm not making none of this up. Go read his book. This was a pre-planned thing, decades in the making. Okay? But let's go further. America brought all of her troubles upon herself. She alone is to be charged with being the cause of the troubled world and people today. Ooh, that's a heavy statement right there by the messenger who was appointed, anointed, and raised by the Lord of the world. So his view and his statement is actually the statement and view of the God of the universe. That's a heavy statement. Okay? America brought all of her troubles on herself. She alone, without partner, without client, without friend, she alone is to be charged with being the cause of the troubled world and people today. America loves meddling into other people's affairs. Let's see. Isn't she at home overthrowing from the inside now by planning her agents in these groups that are asking for freedom, or these people that are asking for separation, or these people that are asking for justice? Isn't she there overthrowing or delegitimizing these groups, incarcerating and assassinating their leader? Let's look abroad. She's in Syria, right? Did the legitimate government of the Syrian Arab Republic invite her there? No. Well, how did she get there? By breaking international law. And why is she there? To commit atrocities and to keep Syria from functioning as a cohesive society under one governing body, right? And is against the legitimacy of a unified, sovereign Syria. Well, she's in Iran. How did she get, she's in Iraq. How did she get there? Through the WMD lies, right? That was pushed upon you by the late Colin Powell, right? People voted her out with a vote of almost 90%. They wanted her out of the country. She's still there. So what is that? That is to flaunt your superpower and your arrogance in the face of the people's will, which is what America always claims that she's for, which is democracy, the will of the people. Well, the will of the people of Iraq overwhelmingly voted to remove all U.S. military personnel and bases out. Is she out or is she still there? Huh? Pakistan. She's over there covertly destabilizing Pakistan. All right? She's on the border of Russia trying to destabilize Russia. She's on the border of North Korea trying to destabilize North Korea. She's destabilizing South Korea by trying to destabilize North Korea. She's destabilizing the central government of Japan by ignoring the wishes of the people of Japan who have demonstrated and protested for decades straight. Listen to me. Not one day. They have been protesting every day for decades for America to remove her bases off Okinawa. Is that honoring democratic values? Huh? What do you guys want to say? What did the messenger of Allah say to us? America loves meddling into other people's affairs. She just cannot stay out of other people's business, whether they be a two-cent workshop box teacher or president and kings of countries. The messenger gives us a description, biblical description of America. You know, with all of her listening devices, with all of her satellites, which can pinpoint a penny on the ground from space, but can't pinpoint the drug caravans that are coming through our borders so that they can infest the urban areas and with guns and drugs so that we can fight and kill each other? Huh? Muhammad says, America's actions fit the description of the prophecy in the Bible. The beast has eyes around about. This refers to the mechanical listening devices which America listens in on other people's private affairs. What happened in Sudan when they had the counter coup? As I was telling you, see how all this stuff comes full circle? When I was telling you about the counter coup to reinstate Bashar back into power. What happened? Because of Israeli, NATO, and U.S. intelligence and aid, they stifled the coup to reinstall the president who was overthrown by the Western coup. Right? What did the message say? It was listening. This refers to the mechanical listening devices which America listens in on other people's private affairs, as well as her listening in on foreign governmental affairs. This also refers to her powerful telescopes, all that stuff she has in space. Right? This is what Muhammad said. America goes abroad and makes war against other people. Then she charges them with making war against her. Stop right there. Stop right there. 2 weeks ago, America bombed the paramilitary forces of Iraq on the border with Syria and Iraq, destroying half of one of their bases, killing dozens of people. Then she went into Syria and bombed and also let Israel go through Jordan up through the air and back down and bomb in Syria, killing about 6 or 7 Syrian soldiers and damaging a heavily fortified base there, right? I don't know how that happened. I don't know what. Even though the flight track says that they came up over the illegal base of, Tal Nufa, I believe that's what it's called, over that base where America has air defense systems over, right? Didn't fire one bullet, and the planes went and bombed homes and bombed other places, Deir ez-Zor, all these places, and then went right back up through that area, back out and round through Israel, where America has warplanes sitting also. Then, a few days ago, the resistance forces, they had already issued a, listen, this didn't come out of no surprise. Hezbollah, I had already told Rashid that this was going to happen. And I had already told Rashid, my sources told me, that they had already had a meeting, and they had come to the conclusion that the next time that happened, and it happened, that they would hit them back, and they would hit them back hard. And this is what happened a few days ago when they sent drones over the U.S. illegal base in Talanuke and around in areas, and they destroyed some of those bases over there because it's not just one facility, it's multiple facilities. And there was a lot of material damage that they're keeping hush-hush. They're keeping hush-hush. And now America says, we have the right to respond. We have the right to self-defense. So you mean in telling me you hit me in my eye and I hit you back? I'm the aggressor. You come in my house. You throw my son on the floor, slap my daughter, kill my baby, and stab me in the side. And I go out there and kill you and everybody that took part in it or shoot at you and everybody who took part in it. And I'm the aggressor. Man, that's crazy as hell. That's the mindset of these people. That's why Muhammad says, America goes abroad and makes war against other people. They didn't come here. She went there. Then she charges them with making war against her, when she is the one who is guilty of the war making. The Bible says Allah will destroy those who delight themselves in making war. So you see, we're in a position now that America cannot get out of. She is in trouble. And to show you just how evil she is, let me play this little one-minute clip. Because remember her justification for being in Iraq and her justification for being in Syria is to fight ISIS or Daesh or whatever, right? Even though she sit there with her telescopes and her satellites when ISIS was at the height of their power and they had taken over two-thirds of Iraq and over half of Syria, and they was marching on Damascus. America didn't fire one bullet, one plane, one missile. She sat there and watched them as they spread out to you. Well, who Russia and Iran intervened, these governments would have been overthrown. And then all of a sudden, after Russia and Iran put in the work, she says, oh, we're fighting Daesh now. You didn't fight them when you had the chance to. And why didn't you fight them? And I want to ask you this question for those of you who are listening. According to what was reported by and what was reported and openly spoken by the State Department, ISIS has not taken any shot or fired anything at U.S. bases. But they're talking about they are for Islamic Caliphate. Huh? How the hell does that make sense? You want the infidels out, but the infidels you call infidels are Muslims. But you fire no shot against the Zionist Jews. You fire no shots against the extreme Christians occupying Muslim land. But you beheading and killing and raping children. How the hell does that make sense? Who benefits from this madness? It is the Zionists, the Christians of the West. I want you to listen to this.
I wouldn't be surprised because the U.S. forces that moved many of the Daesh from Syria and Iraq to Afghanistan and to make sure that the Daesh fights the Taliban, although they've not...
Stop right there. Stop right there. I'm going to play this whole thing. It's only a minute and a half. I'm going to play that again. For years, America has been airlifting ISIS, and we have picture proof, we have video proof, confirmation and everything of America having black helicopters picking up ISIS members, right, and airlifting them from one battlefield to the other, from Libya to Syria, from Syria to Iraq, and vice versa. And now they're doing it to Afghanistan and destabilizing Afghanistan. These are assets of the empire. These are not Muslims. They yell, Allahu Akbar, and all. That is to fool you. These people are killing and beheading children, raping little girls. How the hell can that be Islamic? And yet they fire no missile, no bullet, no rocket. None of it at the people who are occupying the Muslim land. Common sense tells you that this is a psyop. Okay? But listen, folks, you can hear what he has to say.
I wouldn't be surprised because the U.S. forces that moved many of the Daesh from Syria and Iraq to Afghanistan and to make sure that the Daesh fights the Taliban, although they're not very different in ideology, however, the objective is very weird for the ISIS, the Daesh in Afghanistan, to fight the Taliban government. Its killing of the Hazara is also a hit to the Taliban government. This is pretty unusual, just not logical battle between ISIS, Khorasan, and the Taliban, and the killing of the Hazara aims only for one thing, to create instability in the country, instability in the region. This is what the Americans have been doing in Syria. They said they are there to fight ISIS, but they're not there to fight ISIS. They haven't attacked any target, any ISIS target, since a year and a half or 2 years now. They haven't done anything in Iraq for the last couple of years, but they're still in the country. And I think the instability is a reason for the Americans to say, well, we need to continue our counterterrorism collaboration, so you need us to support you. And then slowly but surely, they left from the airport and they want to come back from the window again to Afghanistan.
Who benefits from this madness? The people who are trying to remake the Middle East. You have to understand, they have not given up on these plans. So they are trying to remove all of the obstacles. Libya was a major obstacle for the American empire because Libya stood as the bulwark for keeping colonialism at bay. They had to rid themselves of Muammar because Muammar could galvanize the people of Africa. He could. This is the truth. He was like Mugabe, and he looked up to Mugabe. They could galvanize the people against white oppression, and they could speak through the fog of when white people demonize them, and they took it as a badge of honor when Europe demonized Mugabe or demonized Gaddafi. So they had to remove these people. And then as soon as they remove them, they went in and set military bases up right up in there. And now you see the spread of, what is it? Every time America does something, another terror group, Boko Haram, and groups that you never heard of. How the hell America keep hearing them? Huh? And how does she know the family members of these people? How does she know when these people have rackets on their faces? How does she know who the hell them people are in the genealogical lineage of the people? How the hell is that possible? Some people, you got to think about this stuff, brothers and sisters. See, there's a war going on, but this war is for your mind. They want you to believe in a nation that is the enemy of God. If you love America, you hate God. I'm going to tell you how that is false. God has declared that America is the most wicked nation on earth. And that he has put America as number one on his hit list for destruction. So if America is the number one most wicked nation on earth, and God hates wickedness, as the book says, it stinks in his nostrils, right? And he has declared from his own mouth and the mouth of his apostles and prophets and messengers and to this last messenger of God that he is determined to destroy modern Babylon, which is America, modern Egypt, which is America, under this Pharaoh. If you love this Pharaoh, if you love his politics, if you love his culture, if you love his monetary system, if you love his military, then you are at odds with the God who has come to destroy this nation, his military, his politics, his economics, and his culture. As simple as that. And only fans are buzzed about it. Truth is truth. So, in the midst of a fall, you got to wake up because the time is limited. Listen to me good. The time is limited. So, again, you hear Muhammad tell you that we should know the truth of the seriousness of the time that we are now living in. The truth will save our lives if we believe it. So you got to believe it. You can't just say, oh, I know that's the truth, and just keep stepping. You got to act on truth, right? You got to act on truth. If you reject this truth, you reject the life, because we have an unheard of future that is being cemented with the fall of this world. And anybody who's opposed to the destruction of this world, woman, let me say something to you, brothers and sisters. Think about the hell that your people have gone through and are going through. Think about the divisions amongst us and how we look at each other and how we talk to each other and how we always try to handle things with each other violently. We are the products of our society. We are the products of this nation and this culture. It takes a God to break this culture and this nation and to remove that devil germ, that brown germ from us, and that so that we can go back to ourselves when we look at a brother. You looking at God. See, when I look at you, I'm looking at God. I'm not looking, oh, that nigga got on some Nikes. Oh, to rob that nigga. Oh, that nigga got this. Oh, to do that. Oh, I can't stand that nigga. Oh, I hate that one. Oh, yeah, we fell out 6 years ago. You fell out with your boss last week, yet you was in his office laughing with him today. This is how we are. So it takes a God to do this because we are in such a vulnerable position. We are in such a vulnerable position that it takes some with all power to break the power of somebody, right? I hope you understand what I'm saying. Because we're in this position. God put us in this, he allowed us to put ourselves in this position for a reason. Because we're in such a helpless and hopeless state as a people under the boot of a person that has ruled us for nearly 5 centuries. We are divided. We are haters of self. We are jealous and envious of each other. We are those dry bones that are dead in the valley of Jehoshaphat. So it takes the winds of war to beat on us, to wake us up, to stand us up, to connect us arm, shoulder, neck, all of this stuff. It takes that to get the pettiness out of us so that when we look at each other, we're not looking at each other with hostility. We're looking at each other with love, brotherhood, and fraternity. When we're looking at each other and we have a disagreement with each other, we can be agreeable to disagree instead of, I'll do this to you, nigga. Go on YouTube right now. Go on YouTube right now. Over basketball, football, and boxing, you having people threatening their lives that look like each other. become because we have embraced a society and a culture that is a culture and society of death and degradation. God is here because he knows that all the odds are against the black man waking up, the black man being placed back on top of civilization, especially this black man in America, because even some of our people who come over here from Africa don't want nothing to do with us. So it takes a loving and kind and merciful God to say, you know what? That stone which the builders rejected, I'm going to make it the head cornerstone. I'm going to raise up that people that everybody had lost faith and hope in, and I'm going to make them the light of the world. And I'm going to do it in the midst of his enemies. I'm going to do it while he's captured and captivated by the delusion and illusions of his oppressors. I'm going to do this, and when I do this, it's going to be a great work. Because I'm going to do it in the midst of modern Babylon and modern Egypt. And I'm going to show the world that, hey, they might have power, but I have all power. They may stand, but I sit high. And I'm going to bring all opposition low. Because it's no longer the time of Yaqub. This is the time of the reawakening of the entire black nation, but the black man and woman first here in America. This is our time. No more time to be wasteful. Seize the moment, brothers and sisters, with an undying love and passion for the liberation, the upliftment, and the redemption of 68 million of our kind, first here in America, then the billions around the globe. Know that your brother Rashid Muhammad loves you to life. I don't love you to death. You dead already. I love you to life. But the love that I have for you pales in comparison to the love that my God, my Savior, and my Redeemer, Almighty God Allah, who has come to us in the merciful person of Master Farad Muhammad, his messenger, the last and the greatest of the messengers of God, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and that mighty, mighty Nation of Islam has for you. Until we next speak again, and join us Thursday, brothers and sisters, until we next speak again, stay strong, stay true, but above all things, stay righteous. I love you all.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad. Produced by Nicole Muhammad and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day.